Hey everybody, welcome to the press. It's the start of a new week and probably one of the few final weeks where we have three shows each week. I'm Ryan Ballingy. It's good to have you here. We've got a bunch of tournaments this week. We have three season-ending tournaments. On the PGA Tour, we have the RSM Classic at Sea Island. We have on the LPGA Tour, the CME Group Tour Championship. And on the DP World Tour, we have the season-ending DP World Tour Championship in Dubai. Each of those are interesting events unto themselves. The LPGA and the DP World Tour events are limited fields, 60 players for the LPGA event, 50 players for the DP World Tour event. Rory McIlroy has already won the season-long race to Dubai, so there's nothing to play for points-wise there for them. But for the players who are looking to get into the top 10 and get a promotion to the PGA Tour from the DP World Tour points list, that's an option. That's a big thing this week to look out for. On the LPGA, it is winner-take-all. If you win the tournament this week, you win the race to the CME Globe and $2 million. So lots to play for everybody in the field. And on the PGA Tour, obviously trying to get into the top 125 in terms of the FedEx Cup Fall points list to secure status for next year into every single regular event. And then for the players who are trying to get into that next 10, 51 through 60 in the points list, or what I would call 1 through 10, in the FedEx Cup ball list, those guys are trying to sew that up so that they can get spots into the first two mainland U.S. signature events next year at Riviera and Pebble Beach. So lots to play for this week. The field for the RSM is pretty good, and that's what we're going to talk about here today, kind of overall impressions of the field and the outright board. Tomorrow we will talk about the LPGA and DP World Tour events, and then on Wednesday we will go over the model results for the RSM, and that'll be our last model for the year. So any other events that are out there, I'm thinking about the Hero World Challenge specifically, I'm not going to model. First of all, it's a 20-player field. You can kind of get the sense of some things. And also, a lot of the people who are going to be playing in that won't have played for at least three to four weeks. So there's also something to note there, that there'll be a fair amount of ring rust and it'll be hard to kind of predict winners. We will do shows around that. We will try to do shows around, we'll probably just do one kind of catch-all show per week, right on Monday or Tuesday, depending on when the odds are available, because there will be DP World Tour events, and that's really it, but we will talk about those the weeks that we have them. And there'll be Australian events, some of them, some South Africa, so we'll touch on that a little bit, but predominantly, after this week, we are just going to do one single show, and that'll be all. But, talking about the RSM Classic today, like I said, a good field here. We got about half the world top 50 competing this week between the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour, and then you got 40 of the Rolex rankings top 50 in the LPGA. So, good solid week of competitive golf. Top of the board at Sea Island is Ludvig Åberg. He is 12-1. Cameron Young is 16-1. The Open champion, Brian Harman, playing this week, 18-1. Russell Henley, 22-1. Corey Connors, 25-1. Siwoo Kim, 28-1. Your 30s are Justin Suh and Alex Noren. Your 35s are JT Poston, Matt Kuchar, Eric Cole, and Denny McCarthy. Your 40-1s, Steven Yeager, Keith Mitchell, Billy Horschel, Adam Svensson, defending champion, 45-1. Tommy Dietrich, Luke List, JJ Spaun, Chris Kirk, Brendan Todd, your 50s. Yeah, we'll do that. Your 50s, Akshay Bhatia, Nicholas Lindheim, and, oh, nope, that's wrong. Nicholas Lindheim's 55-1, along with Matty Schmid, K.H. Lee, Harris English, Davis Thomas, Chesson Hadley, Camilo Vijayga, shout out to him, congrats on the big win, and Alex Smalley. So, here's the one, there are a couple things about Sea Island this week. First, from a data perspective, this tournament is played on two courses. There are 156 players. It's like you would play the Tory event. You get a round on each in the first two rounds, and then they cut it down and go to one course for the final two rounds. Both courses are pretty short, pretty easy. The only thing that makes them difficult at all is wind. If there's no wind, 25 under is going to win, or 20 to 25 under, somewhere in that range is going to win. So even if it does blow, you're probably still going to get to at least 18 under. So you've got to be able to go low in these fall events. We've seen that time and again. With the exception of the Zozo Championship, you basically had to get to 20. That's been your number. So you've got to be able to make birdies and eagles. You've got to be able to put circles on the card. Pars are not doing it. Also important to note. Also, because we have two courses, strokes gain data that we have this for this tournament is only for the host course. So you have to keep that in mind that we don't know about both courses this week. We only know about one, really. We know scoring averages, and we can break those things down, but we don't have shot link data for both courses this week. So kind of need to know that, but you're only going to have one round on that course. The Seaside course is the host. The Plantation course is the second course. I'm going to pull up the scorecard for the Plantation just so you know, and we could talk about it. It's a 7,060-yard golf course. It is a par 72. If you do not shoot better than 67 on that course, you're probably not winning the golf tournament. So you got to be able to take advantage of that course. The par 5s do have some length to them, which is quite interesting the way that they distribute the length on the Plantation. The par 4s, 373, 382, 473, 452, 481. I mean, that's a very weird distribution. 327, 409, 437, 365, 350. And then the par 5s are 623, 529, 550, and 560. So one really long one and three very reachable ones for the players on the Plantation course. You've got to be able to take advantage of that golf course. Then on the Seaside course, 7,005 yards, but that is a par 70. So you got to keep that in mind. Your total par for the week is 282. Just keep that in mind. So when you see, try to do computations from years past, and you go, "What? This doesn't make any sense." That's why. You have three 70s and a 72. Truly unique setup in professional golf. 35 and 30, one par five aside, 582 and 565, so some length to them. The par fours really aren't a big ask. 417, 415, 429, 409, 368. 452 to close out the nine. They probably set that up as a par five day to day, but made it long enough to be a par four here. 418, 425, 408, 442. That's a good length. 407, and then 18 is 470. So they don't have as many sub 400 yard par fours as the par 72 Plantation course, which it's just a really interesting layout week. But anyway, you know that about the courses. Need to know that about shot link data. Not that I think one round out of four is all that important, but knowing if from a live betting perspective this week, you need to know that if your pick of choice is on the Plantation course and they're not at least five deep, just get off of that. Don't even waste your time, because they're probably not going to do it. You need to make your hay in that round and then figure out a way to shoot three good rounds. But I would strongly urge you to take advantage of some live betting this week, just because a number of these guys, a number of the top 50, I mean, we got, again, a dozen top 50 players competing this week. Most of them haven't seen action in a while, if at all, this fall. Like Brian Harman, his fall adventure is the Ryder Cup. Denny McCarthy, it's this. Billy Horschel has played consistently through the fall on the DP World Tour. You might like him, but he doesn't really have much pedigree in this tournament. So there's a lot to kind of throw up a caution flag about this week. But for guys who have played consistently through the fall, I think you have to start. I would start with Eric Cole at 35-1. He just keeps trending in the right direction. Eventually, he's going to figure this thing out. He is not tired. He will play golf until the wheels fall off. 35-1 feels like a good number. Justin Suh is close. He's so close. 30-1, like that number. Alex Noren, in two of his last three starts, has been on the medal stand. 30-1. I know he's never won on the PGA Tour, but kind of feels like we're building to something. That's just what I think about it. I would stay away from Russell Henley, Corey Connors, Siwoo Kim. Corey Connors is a great ball striker, has a top 10 finish in this tournament. Russell Henley, very good player. Kind of home game type deal. The Sea Island Mafia is certainly out in force. Brian Harman has not played throughout the fall. I'm not betting you at 18-1. Cam Young, 16-1. too short. Just finished T54 in his last start. I know there's ring rust there, but that was his one and only start. Then takes a week off, then comes back for this. I'm not so sold on that. And I would love to bet Ludovic Aubert, but he's like the 55th ranked player in the world, and there are 11 players, 12 players better ranked than him in this field. And he's 12-1. I know he's going the right direction. I know he's probably going to win the PGA Tour very soon, but I'm not taking that at 12-1. Just not worth it. Matt Kuchar is a sneaky pick here, 35-1, because he has played very well in his starts on the DP World Tour throughout the fall, which has been pretty cool, kind of like Billy Horschel, just going over there and playing for a while. I do kind of like that a little bit. So I think that's worth a look, but it's kind of also hard to bet on a guy that's like 45 years old to win a PGA Tour event. It's hard to get behind that. Steven Yeager at 40-1 feels closer to about the right range. We've seen him as short as, 15 or 20-1 throughout the fall. 40-1 feels more like the speed I would want to wager Steven Yeager. I'd like it deeper than that. Billy Horschel I really like at 40-1. I tend to bet him more than the average person, so worth pointing that out. Matty Schmid, 55-1 this week. Odds are starting to shorten up. He had his best finish ever on the PGA Tour last week with a third-place finish. He has been playing pretty well. If it does get windy, I do like him quite a bit. We'll look at the forecast for that. But between Bermuda and the Andalusia Masters, now a couple of medal stand finishes in tournaments where there was pretty substantial wind. So if wind's in the forecast, I would get a ticket on Matty Schmid in your account. And if you think it's going to be windy, you think he's just going to play well, I get one in there too. Akshay Bhatia, a lot of people liked last week. Looked very good. Just didn't get the job done. I can consider him an interesting pick here. Taylor Pendrith, I think you have to give a consideration to it, 65-1. He's been playing very well. Played well in Bermuda again. He's had a very nice fall. I think he can clean up in a golf course like this. It's pretty short, but the longer par fours will not play very long for him. I do like his chances here. Webb Simpson might get a little bit of love because he has played this tournament well and is kind of sneakily playing okay at 80-1. I may consider Callum Tarrant here at 80-1. I know I play him too much. Stuart Sink, I think, is worth a look here this week at 90-1. He got in the top 10 last week? Top 10 last week in Bermuda. He's 51 years old or whatever it is. I mean, you got to at least think about him a little bit this week. Other guy I'll tell you to think about that's a PGA Tour Champions player, Patrick Harrington. He won in a runaway a couple weeks ago on the Champions Tour. It was close again last week. He's still an incredible player. He's longer than he was when he won three majors. This is badly priced. This is a short golf course, and he plays well when the weather stinks. I'm willing to consider some money on Patrick Harrington at 110-1. Other than that, start to get a little tricky here. Vince Whaley was an interesting play for a lot of people last week on first round leader that I saw. I haven't done much first round leader stuff in the fall because it's too tricky for me for my appreciation. But at 110-1 to win the tournament, I am kind of interested. We do tend to get some strange winners in this event. Not that they don't deserve it, but just some interesting winners that actually turn out to be pretty good players. I am disappointed that Seamus Power is not here. He would have been one of my plays as a horse for course kind of guy, but he's not here this week. Matt Neesmith might be worth a look at 130-1. Will Gordon has some good finishes in this tournament, 150-1. Maybe a guy to, again, first round leader stuff is going to be probably course dependent this week. Just keep that in mind. Even if they even put that out there, there probably are going to be some books that are just like, here's your outright market, good luck to you, and that's going to be it. Unlikely to get probably a lot of sophistication on these first round leader plays, but wait till you see the draw there before you think about it a little bit. I think that's all I'll say about that. And hopefully your book does offer first round leaders, but most likely they're going to offer it by course. Just to keep that in mind. And then once you get beyond like a couple of guys to pick off in that 150-1 range, maybe a Patton Kizzire 180-1. Again, good history here. A couple of really strong finishes. I'll throw Josh Teeter out there at 200-1. He got his card back onto the PGA Tour from the Korn Ferry Tour. He had a really trying last day to make sure that that happened, but he did get his card back, so he's back on the PGA Tour. Veteran guy, knows how to win, knows how to play well. I don't think he would be afraid of the moment if he got there, so Josh Teeter might be worth a look at 200-1. Might also be, again, worth a look for like a first-round leader play just to get something solid out there. And then Ryan Gerard had an encouraging week last week. But he's 351 is maybe a little bit too much. But you could, I think, conceptually get this week someone in the 200 to 300 range that actually wins. I haven't figured out who that might be yet. That'll probably be a model thing. I'll probably take the highest ranking, worst priced, or highest odds person in the field just to have a little bit of a sweat this weekend. But, well, assuming they get to the weekend. But that's probably what I'm going to do here. Again, bet lightly in the fall. I tread lightly in the fall. It's just, there's so much other stuff going on, for one. But two, these events are interesting. I mean, just think about the last 2 weeks. At Erik van Rooyen, which wasn't out of nowhere, but a longer shot. 70-1, I think, for a lot of people. But he was playing good tee-to-green golf, just needed the putter to start working. And then Camilla Vijayas kind of came out of nowhere the last couple of weeks, challenged Erik van Rooyen for the win, along with Matt Kuchar, which is probably another reason to play him, by the way. And then comes back the next week and wins for the first time in more than 9 years. So while we had some chalk to start the fall, we have gone the other way the last couple of weeks. None of that means anything. Trends don't matter. That's not how that works in the sport. Anyone can win, but you have to keep in mind that chalk isn't necessarily just going to do it this week, even though we have probably the best field of the fall here. So all that to keep in mind. All right, that's going to do it for us today on the show. Thanks for spending some time with us. I appreciate it. Tomorrow we will talk about the LPGA's CME Group Tour Championship and the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai to end out both of those tour seasons. If you have any questions for me, email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. I'm on Twitter, X, Threads, and Instagram at Ryan Ballingy. You can join Golf News Net for $99 a year at golfnewsnet.com. And we'll be back with another show tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening. Catch you next time on The Press.